You are listening to The Leak with Rachel Fogletto. Yeah,
and Kat Mosley.
Put a demon in my camera that seems to be
recording. Yes. Recording. The demon tried to take you.
Yeah,
but you've been relevant.
Real weird. It actually was freaking me out, and I don't tend to like believe in that, but I was like, what do you want? I am the worst person to do kind of communication with the undead. Like, I am not intuitive for what you're supposed to do.
It's like I just dropped a smoke in a box and I had to dump the whole box out before. I'm like, I can't. Go on.
Wait, what happened? Wait, you dropped your cigarette in it?
Yeah. But it's out. It's out of it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can't leave that. I mean, I would have tried, honestly, if I didn't think it would have led to more work later. All right.
That's like the gorilla glue thing. It's like the cost benefit analysis. My therapist always tells me.
Seems like a shortcut now, but I'm going to end up online for so many hours later trying to figure this out.
Yeah. I'm going to Google this and see how many people. If nobody Googled it, it's almost worse when nobody's Googled the thing that you're Googling. You're like, oh, I am a freak. Like,
yeah, I'm in trouble. Yeah.
Like, even if it's something messed up, I'm like, at least it comes up. I'm not the only person that
who's out here. And then I just feel intruded upon. Don't guess my concerns, internet. I know you're listening.
Yeah, so we're gonna try to do a quickie because we're both, I think, a little I'm not gonna speak for you. I know I'm a little fried, but we wanted check in.
It's so important to check in. I've actually missed checking in at the same time that I've been very, very fried. It's been like, if only I wasn't fried. So, yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if we
My wouldn't it be nice? It was like a retreat. Like, I wish I had, like, all kinds of money to go to a retreat, and it probably would be, like, a lot of Black women sitting around, but, like, we're at this retreat where we're not being secretly experimented on, and we're doing yoga and watching Real Housewives of Atlanta, and...
Yeah, I'm, like, the opposite. I'm, like, retreat sounds like... too many people.
I also feel you. I feel you on that.
Not judging. No, I mean, it's just, it's interesting. Like, you're like, I would love it to do this. And I'm like, oh, that sounds stressful.
Because here's what I know about any group of people. And also, it's a lesson that I'm reminded of in Real Housewives. Every time there's a conflict, they're like, we are not going to fight this time, y'all. We're going to be about peace, y'all. And then they're like, let's clear the air on this to be about peace. And then they get to fighting.
Yeah.
Every group, there's bound to be some friction. If it's not there, the group will find it. It'll create it. And so that's why I like having time to go and stream. I would like to have a balcony and a hammock. Places where I can be alone, but also places where I can be among.
I like that. I like that. When you go on vacation with your friends, but you have your own hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Cocoon time.
Yeah.
And then flap the wings time. Yeah. That would be my February retreat.
And thank you for getting it in my ear. I find, like, I told you this already, but I finally started watching Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I'm so happy.
Started back in 2008. I had to keep reminding myself of context, but it's so interesting now. And now I'm invested. It's like, now I'm only on season two, so I'm so behind. It's like, that's why I'm like, I know that you're probably like, oh my God, that's so long ago when that was happening, but...
I didn't watch it in real time, so I've been, looping through it, and I recommend watching them through and then checking them out again and seeing like who you hate this time around. It's fascinating.
Yeah, no, I'm still in the beginning.
First watch.
Although I think I told you this already. I tend to like whoever they make the villain, which I still do think is Nini, even though they go back and forth with her. It's like, oh, nobody likes her. Oh, now we're on her side. And I'm like, no, but you painted her into the black sheep character.
Yep.
Like, she's the one. And then you did the whole, like, childhood thing. I mean, which, like, not she's not the only one, but you make, for some reason, her thing more tied it. Like, I just, it's like, oh, I love, the art of reality TV is, like, it is, I love, I'm like a nerd about it, kind of. Like, I love to watch how they create the drama.
It is spectacular, and they hide their hands. They create the drama and hide their hands. It's spectacular. I guess that's always been part of production. You don't see the lighting people on the set, but still, the very interactions that you are told are reality are being influenced, and we know that the observer impacts the observed. So, it's so good. And I feel you on the Nini story. Yeah. Nini is a mentor. I told you about her single, Honey, right? Nini Leakes released a single called Honey. It's spelled H-U-N-N-I. And part of why I love that her single is called Honey is because everybody on that show, like, punctuates their sentences with honey now, and she was the only person on that show doing it before. And like, over time, you can watch people adopt Niniisms that now sort of run through the show without her.
I'm going to note that. That's, I love that. I love stuff like that. Okay.
She's the one I noticed doing it, so yeah. But that's how I experience Nini. Is she has these interesting ways of fueling and driving the show with her personality. Like,
yeah. She's like the most realistic one because, yes, she'll say something like, you know, not appropriate or whatever, or like be drunk. But she always like will be like, okay, yeah, I did, but like, let, like, it's just like more realistic. Like, it's not like this whole like drama, like, I hate you, I'm never gonna talk to you again. I'm like, dude, how many times have you been drunk and you said some shit?
And you said some dumb shit. Yeah. She's like, girl, sometimes I don't even know what I be saying when I be drunk. And you believe her.
And everybody had, and they show Kim talking shit too when she's drunk. So it's like, you all talk shit. You know that. And you're on camera now. So like, don't do this whole, I can't believe you said that about me when you were like, really?
Assume how are people
talk shit about other people, so what makes you think she wouldn't talk shit about you? Like, you were hurt, fine, and then she said she was sorry, and then why does that have to be a thing?
Yo, that remains fascinating on that show. And again, like a few seasons in, you can see them come back. It's the beginning of another season, the veterans come back, and still some controversy will happen that like knocks them off center or seems to. It's just how they can still be surprised. It's
Angelina, like, and they're not the same people, obviously. Jersey Shore is a whole different show, but it's like the same with Angelina. It's at the point now where like Angelina's the pot stirrer. They bring her into situations to cause drama, and then it's like, we can't believe this happened. It's like, but that's, you did that. You want her, and you could tell she's even like over it, kind of. But she does the character, they get money, like it's the show. And if there was no villain, there'd be no show.
Exactly. I didn't do theater studies, but I'm pretty sure that it's essential. I'm pretty sure you have to have glimmers of bad guy in your stories. You conflict at the very least, just something in there in your story. I walk down the street. Oh, that's very interesting. What? A minute. Am I supposed to infer that there was resistance between your feet and the sidewalk? Where's your conflict?
You know what I wanted to tell you and I forgot on Sunday when we were talking is now I can never get that song out, that don't be tardy for the party. Like, if I'm trying not to be late for something, I'm like, don't be tardy for the party. And I'm just like, I hate it. It's so catchy. I can't get out, I can't get out of my head. Because I'm always running late.
Oh, there's so much in store for you.
Okay.
Oh my God, there's a road trip season 3. It's so great. When you see the untalented Kim Zolciak start to believe in herself as a pop star, believe what she... Oh, it's I'm embarrassed for her the way I'm embarrassed, you know, for like someone who's new and kills at an open mic and they're like big person on campus for a second. Like, yeah, she's like community theater embarrassing. Like, ooh, I know stage lingo. Yeah, it's...
Well, you could tell she went into it like she's like a comic that doesn't want to really do the work, because it's like you could tell she went into it like, oh, this will be fine, and then like that recording session she had, it was just like, yeah, that's like what I sound like when I sing, like, because you need to be trained. And that lady was like, yeah, you don't really know what you're doing.
You,
she got upset. I'm like, but you need somebody to tell you that. Everybody's trying to tell you, but they're also like, don't waste my time, because like, if you really want to do it, I'll train you, but like, you have to train. Like,
yeah, these people can't have you out in the industry with their names on you doing that.
And you could learn. I remember, like, for a brief moment, I've never been great, but I had like a teacher work with me and I was like, oh wait, oh, I can kind of say, but like, I didn't go forward with it, but like, you can. Yeah, that's why people get paid to train you.
Yeah,
and you have to put in the time to practice and learn how to do it, but she doesn't want to do that.
Absolutely no work, thank you. I will have the no work option, please and thank you. It's spectacular. It's a way of life that works for her.
I'm excited to see more, but I'm so bad. It's like Seymour Butts. Remember that stupid joke?
Seymour Butts. I'm calling for Seymour.
I've been working, so my brain is like so dumb right now.
When I was in high school, like, we used to get calls. I guess our phone number got out to like the colleges nearby, so different phone numbers on our halls in our dorms got out. This is before cell phones, so we just had like the one landline on the hall, and people would call and talk dirty to us. And of course, anyway, we looked in the phone book after getting some dirty calls, and there was, in fact, a Jablomi, Haywood in the phone book. There was a Haywood Jablomi in the phone book in Troy, New York, in the early 90s. And I'm really proud of whatever young college student did that, because I feel like there is no Haywood Jablomi, right?
I am tempted to Google it right now.
How the person actually exists with Heywood. Yeah, Haywood. Or they probably do it
Haywood. I feel like I worked with
Haywood. Haywood is a name. Yeah.
Not Jablomi, but.
The problem, it's such a nice sounding name if it didn't also sound like Haywood Jablomi.
It comes right. Wait, Haywood. Wait, I'm seeing J-A. Google knows what I'm trying to do. J-A-B-L-O-M-E, or hold on, let me just see what happens. Wait, Haywood Jablomi IMDb?
Oh my God. Is he a porn star?
There's no picture. It says actor, camera, and electrical department. Haywood Jablomi is known for his work on Bikini Summer 3, South Beach Heat, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a real movie or is that a porno? It looks kind of like it could be a porno. I would like a picture.
I think Haywood Jablomi is a movement. If a bunch of frat boys all over the U.S. are just creating profiles and IDs for Haywood Jablomi, I would be proud.
A professional IMDb profile.
You can just get it. You can just purchase it.
I did it, and it was. It's a long story, but because I don't want to talk about it. Please don't look me up on IMDb. But yeah, you can do that if you're committed to something.
That's commitment.
Jamie is a makeup artist for a local bikini contest on the beautiful South Beach of Miami. Her life appears to be falling apart when her boyfriend leaves her in a jealous rage. Her wild and gorgeous friends, Dev and Vink, convince her to be a contestant in the contest while her ex-boyfriend's bumbling private detective hilariously tries to track her. In a transformation of innocence to high-profile model, Jamie heats up Miami at South Beach. That's the premise of this movie. There was more than one bikini summer. I mean, I guess. Is this a porn? Is this porn going IMDb?
It sounds like soft porn.
It's gotta be at least soft porn.
There's like some Shannon Tweed shit. Yeah.
There's like, you don't see full vagina, but like.
You get a lot of breasts sitting high. And yeah, you get like weird love scenes with tongueless kisses, you know, with just like lips.
Mm-hmm. There's like body parts
and weird like
pressing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
but you can't, it's just not a believable thrust.
Oh, they were wait, actor, 3 credits. Hey, oh, okay, so second assistant he was just a camera person. So he was an actor in True Vengeance, 1997, Massage Parlor Patron.
There we go.
Men in Blue, non-sexual role, 1998.
That's like his porn.
White Lighting, 2000, Club Patron as Haywood Jablow. I guess he is a porn star. I don't know if anybody really has that name. Sorry, everyone. Take you on that journey.
Keep it up, frat boys. Keep it up. This is great. It would make me watch those movies to check out Haywood's work.
My ADD hyperfocus is now all about Haywood's blow. I'm sorry. I'm like, I gotta find out about it. Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, this is porn. I didn't know porn was on IMDb. That's cool. All right. Yeah.
It should me neither. When I was an extra on a couple of projects last year, there were people who were extras with me who were like adding themselves on IMDb to the projects. I guess nobody monitors that. So you can just put that you were background.
Because I was a background in something, but then somebody put my name on something years ago. The quality is just like not great. I mean, God, please don't look it up because it's still there. I haven't decided. I'm lazy. It's ADD, you know.
It's too much. It's too much figuring out.
Like, I need to get this straightened out. And then I take half of it. And then now it's even worse because I've updated it. And it doesn't matter. So, yeah, you could put porn on there. How about that?
You can add whatever you like. Maybe I can have, I'll put Sucks to Be Quarantined on there. I'll put the Facebook comedy series. I mean, how far can you go? Is TikTok up on IMDb?
TikTok, I think, is its own.
Can you be like TikTok star? No, it's a whole other thing. It's not media.
Who knows? Like Facebook made their own like kind of TV platform almost. So I mean, if they did something like that, which I wouldn't put it past TikTok to do that. I just joined that Clubhouse thing. Did you hear? I'm such a nerd.
What is this?
I just saw people posting about it online. I've been seeing it like, you know, when you see stuff sprinkled around, you don't really pay that much attention. And then finally you're like, what is this? Like comedians, people are talking about invites. It's this app. It's an app where there's like celebrities on there, but like it's invite only right now because it's in the beta stages. But it's like you can make like rooms. I think some comics have been doing shows on it, but it's audio. So like you can go in these rooms. Like I ended up listening to one Howard Stern did the other night. It was like my first night on it. So you can follow people and see what they're doing. And some people schedule shows. And you go in the room and you're in there with like a bunch of other audience, like no cameras. It's just you see little profiles of who's in the room, and then you have speakers who are talking about whatever they're talking about, and you can listen. And if you want to say something, so I guess a lot of times people, they'll interview people who, if you can raise your hand, if you want to like ask a question or whatever. So I guess like some celebrities have taken on to like, it's kind of cool, honestly. Like, it's like, oh, like, let's bring this random person up and see what they have to say. And so I just listened because I really didn't want to talk to anybody. But I made the joke on Twitter, like, because I wanted to just hear Italian speaking. So I joined this Italian one real quick. Mm-hmm. And, like, immediately they were like, do you want to speak? And I was like, fuck no.
Why?
I was like, the joke I put on Twitter was different. But I'm like, I imagined it would be, I would just say some stupid shit and get kicked out. So. But it's kind of neat. So I'm just playing with it right now. I've only had it like 2 days, but
that sounds pretty cool.
An invite. I have one.
Ooh. One left. I'm so curious about it.
It's fun. I think it's fun. We could do this. We could do the leak on there.
Ooh.
We could do like a little segment on there. Would people like that? Let us know.
Let us know if you would like to see us on Clubhouse. It's called Clubhouse.
It's called Clubhouse. I'll send you one when it's when we're done this.
Thank you. Ooh.
Yeah, shout out to Sergio. He gave me the invite. It's kind of it's fun because like then so I don't know how it works. You join it and then the person who I guess you got the invite from, it's like, so it shows who nominated you, so that's just on your profile forever. So if you send an invite to somebody, like I love the little nuanced things they do. It's like, so you see, I guess you see who nominated you forever on your profile. I'm like, that's a little subtle drama thing. I love it.
I like how it encourages like some self-management a little bit. So what do you do? Do you hold out for an invitation that might feel like a better nomination? Do you know that you're going to get that rose? Do you take this rose? Oof.
And once you send an invite to somebody, if they don't take it, you just lose the invite because it's by phone number. It has to be somebody in your contacts that you have their phone number.
It makes me curious about the logic. I can dig it.
In a way, I get it. But also, it's like...
a little too much.
In a few months, it's going to be a shit show. Like, everybody's going to be on it. It won't matter.
They'll have figured it out. Yeah. Like, you'll have people self-referring. So that they get a bunch of invitations. You have multiple phone. I don't know. They'll figure it out. I don't know. I don't think through these things. I don't. But there are people who are good at this.
Yeah, I don't have that much. I'm not that skilled at that. Like, if I just were good at stuff like that, I would probably do it just to troll it. But
yeah. The part I like about it is from time to time, it just happened, I think, like yesterday or the day before, I will get a Facebook friend request from somebody who so clearly does not exist, or like, where did you come from in the world? How did your eyes light upon my profile? Like, why would I click? Who's like, it's just too random on Facebook. Like, someone who claims to be a doctor in Italy whose profile just started the day before. Tired of that. Yeah, it's like Facebook should know better.
Like,
yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
Perché?
And like the tagline for their profile was something like, we care about your health. Mm-mm.
I'm not going with a doctor in Italy. I don't even think we're allowed there yet. If I can ever go there again, I'll look you up if I need a doctor.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. What's your care going to do for me on Facebook? All the way over here in this town.
Telemed?
All right.
You take Bitcoin?
My bad, Telemed.
Yo, everybody doesn't listen to this podcast, but shout out to Seamus Millar. We did a little app promo exchange like a year and a half ago. And I signed up for Abra, as in Abracadabra. And I put in $5 with his promo in November 2019. And they gave me $25 worth of Bitcoin at that time. And that Bitcoin is now worth like almost $200.
That's awesome.
So I've been putting more money in it because it's supposed to go up higher. Apparently, if you would have just been buying Bitcoin since like 2009, it would be like worth $1 million. But also, I was like not in that
headspace.
But I'm like, well, maybe I should put more money in Bitcoin. I was going to cash out, and then everybody was like, don't do that. And I'm like, all right, I'll try to hold on. It's you know what's hard? It's like when you've been like poor and in debt, it's so hard to change your mentality with saving. And it's a constant struggle for me. That's why I put my money in so many different apps and places, because if I had it all in one place, I would never save money.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in all those different places.
Spread around.
I can't. In my brain, I'm just like, that's $200. I could pay a bill or do this or that. But I'm like, yeah, but it's collecting value by sitting there. And you're okay if you're paying your bills. You're always going to be in student loan debt, so just let it sit there. It's so hard to change that. That's why when people are like, why don't people just save money? I'm like, because when you don't have money ever and you're always needing stuff, what you can't say, like, it's so,
why don't people just save money? Like, that question doesn't compute for me. Why don't people just save money?
Why don't people just stay inside? Why don't people just follow the rules? Why don't people just do what they're supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Che told a joke on Saturday Night Live.
Why don't people just apologize?
You told it. I'm not qualified.
Nor am I.
Whether this Nor is am offensive I. Yeah. or not. And I think Michael Che told a joke on Saturday Night Live. We can paraphrase, right? He said something about half the population of Israel.
Israel has reported that half of its population has been vaccinated.
I think we know which half. That was the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Quoting, not saying. And
right, we are not guessing which half. The joke, right, right.
Paraphrasing the joke that Michael Che may or may not have written, but co-signed and delivered on SNL. And now it's like I saw it trending and I was like, all right, now I got, every time I see a comedian trending about a controversialist, I'm like, now I gotta look up a comedian. And nothing against Michael Che, he makes me laugh a lot, and then there's a lot of jokes he tells that I do not care for. I think he said lots of offensive things. I don't think this is the most offensive. I'm not saying it's not offensive. However, I'm just going to say it. I don't think comedians should apologize for jokes unless they really mean it and they feel that way. I just don't. I think it's absurd. I think it is utterly, and this might be my burnout speaking, because I am in a state of burnout. I am very tired. I do still work a day job, but I'm working overtime and I'm trying to do comedy. And I'm seeing shaming for that, for doing it in real life, and there's a lot of things, so my brain is very tired, and I'm like, there is still a pandemic happening right now. People are trying to survive in so many different ways, and I have no doubt, I am not diminishing the impact that this had on people. I am not saying people should not be hurt by this, and I'm not saying they aren't hurt by this. That is all valid. I think it's utterly ridiculous to think a comedian should apologize for a joke, just like if you picked any musician who's written an offensive lyric and made them apologize. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You know how many fucking songs there are that are abhorrent? Like, are we gonna make everybody apologize for the awful things that they produce? Like, my God, like, it's just, I that's where I, that's the way I feel.
I'm trying to sift through what just doesn't compute for me. Like, and I was trying to work this out with you before we started recording, is like, I guess where I come down to on the apology is if it comes from him. If he's like, oh shit, some information or epiphany or realization has reached me and it has occurred to me that what I said was this, that, and the other, then this. But you are right. He's a comedian telling a joke, and he's not even a stand-up comedian telling a joke. He's essentially an ensemble comedian telling a joke that was written and cleared by multiple people before he delivered it. You weren't lying when you said it's like 14 seconds long. I think it's less. The joke is quick and it's delivered like any other weekend update joke. It's hard for me to imagine an authentic feeling on my end, apology context for Michael Che in this situation. What actually would he be apologizing for? For whose actions? For whose thoughts? For whose intentions? For the impact on whom? And I don't have the expertise to talk about whether or how people are impacted, but they're, ugh. The agreement in a comedy environment is that stuff is going to get poked. And as I speak, and I can imagine any number of what ifs, like, what if the comedian were talking about this? And what if the comedian were talking about that? And I think what I would say in response to all of those what ifs that I'm imagining is that I don't demand apologies from those comedians. In fact, I don't know that I demand anything. I think I have wishes. I think I have wishes that they would get funnier with the shit they're doing.
Bingo.
I wouldn't be offended as much if you were funny. I might be itchy, salty, because you're making me laugh at something I want to be offended by. Like, I'm like, you can't have that. That's not yours. But you're so good at it. So I don't demand apologies. I don't expect apologies. That's where, I think that's one place where I can land. Not one place. I mean, that's, I agree with you. That's my long way of saying I agree. I don't expect apology from comedians. And at this point, I'm confused about comedian apology as a conversation. I'm confused.
I like what you said. I feel like what you said is how I feel. And I almost feel like the real comedian apology is getting funnier.
Mm-hmm.
That's the apology.
Mm-hmm.
That's you realizing you were wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because there's no worse than a comic that just keeps telling the same shitty joke for years and years that's offensive and shitty and tone deaf, and they keep telling it. And they're like, oh, what? It's like, no, man, it's you. You keep telling that joke, and it doesn't work. And you're not getting better. You're not trying to do anything with it. That's offensive to me. You working on your shit and learning how to, like, and again, that joke is like a throwaway joke. It's like you said, it's not even stand-up. It's a totally different concept. It's like, I'm going to say this once. It's going to do what it does. It's going to land or flop, and I'm never going to even go to it again. So that's not even that context. It's sort of just like, yeah, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Or it didn't work the way I wanted it to, or it didn't do what it should have done. It's like, are we going to harp? Yeah, I'm confused as well. I don't understand what an apology, especially when the person doesn't mean it. I agree. I think, I've said this before, I think apologies should only, I think you should only say you're sorry when you really mean it. Otherwise, what's the point? It's not going to be good enough.
You can sniff out an apology that hasn't quite appreciated the impact of an action on you, you know? So like when you hear people say, I'm sorry if you felt, whatever the mechanics of the actual apology are, you can sniff it out when it's not coming from like authentic appreciation of impact. So So yeah, skip that. I'm baffled. Like I was telling you before the recording, Netanyahu's in the news. I ran through principles. Netanyahu has contacted Biden to specifically request / warn him not to roll back certain Trump orders at the UN. So to me, this seems like public news. I can see how this appeared to be punching up and appeared to be a safe way to punch. I can see how this would have been, I don't think that people thought of this as a safe joke. I even think that having Che do the joke, like he tends to do these unsafe jokes. It was a high risk joke. So I guess what I come around to is some concern about how much people think that their disapproval influences another person. Like that, is that where we've come? That we can be really loud and disapproving and disagreeing? And what's our end game there? So we can talk so much shit about Michael Che that he stops taking risks. Like what do we really think that sitting back and judging someone and being like that thing you did was wrong over and over again is like a catalyst for change?
Yeah, like is it gonna make it better?
What does it do?
Like they said, the thing I read said it perpetuated stereotypes that contributed to Holocaust. Like the idea, which this is my like brain going, like I'm assuming like the controlling the world, like that was the stereotypes Germany had. And this is like my, again, paraphrase, like, so that was the argument of why it was so impactful. And again, I don't deny that that impact happened to people, and nor would I, because I don't know enough about it. But regardless, it's like, I have to think, how did you even hear about it? Like, were you watching SNL? Are you a fan? Did you just see it? Because I feel like it's kind of similar to, like, when Dave Chappelle comes out with a new special. I feel like some people just, like, follow it to find the bit that's the most offensive that everybody's going to hate, and you didn't even, like, you're just doing it to hate on it. And then you contribute to the person's idea that you're just hating on me. So I'm going to keep doing this thing because you are feeding it. And
you said this before in one of our like long conversations about Real Housewives of Atlanta, forgive me and thank you, is it turns us into the reality show. You real life become, yeah. You said
this. No, go on. Yeah.
So you become a reality show. We the real live human beings are becoming a reality show because we're pumping out so much disapproval to someone and they are now. What's that?
Thing. It was episodes ago. Remember we were talking about Trump?
Yeah.
You were saying that we were a reality show.
Yeah. And that's what we're doing because these people are definitely talking back to us. I don't know if Che will. SNL is so tightly scripted, right? Like, I don't know how he will, except in a tightly scripted way.
Review. Like, I think there's a lot of reviewing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not that people don't, like, ad lib when they do it, but that was clearly a, like you said, like it was an approved joke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it sucks because the loudest people are going to be the disapproval people. So hopefully comedians are reading your self-help books. Again, I recommend Brené Brown. Thank you, Cecily. Because there's a lot of talk in there about like not listening to people who are not in the arena with their faces in the dirt taking the shit. And unfortunately, if those of us who want a better world continue to try to do that with disapproval, I think that we are fracturing ourselves. I still think that we need to fancy ourselves an army. Because reports coming out of the Capitol are that was a coordinated attack that had taken place for a while. So there is an army, an ununiformed army in the United States right now, everywhere. And so part of me is still in the mindset of, who are my siblings in arms? Who are they? And if I'm spending a ton of time kicking the shit out of them, I don't know. I just feel I'm willing to let a lot of assholes go that we can never win back into the army. But I'm concerned. I guess, like, I need everybody to stop believing in their own good intentions and just start believing in your actions. And it's really shitty just to sit in those. I've sat in a few weeks of very little action at all. And feeling a lot of love, but expressing very little, and feeling very guilty about that. But I'm tired of good intentions, like actions, outcomes. I'm tired of sitting around meaning well. And maybe that's why I'm into the comedian shouldn't apologize. That's what's so very Real Housewife about it. I told a joke to provoke. That's why I told the joke. You provoked? Awesome. Think about it. Read an article. What's Netanyahu do? Like, what's happening in the world? What's important to you? If this is in fact important to you, what actually can you be doing other than yelling at a comedian about it? Because you're just going to make this that comedian's brand.
Because we're antagonists. And I'm not saying you should... Again, I'm all about punching up, like, being smart, but, like, when it comes down to it, we are antagonists. When we're poked, we want to poke back. And it's hard. A lot of us have to learn. I had to learn, and I'm still learning sometimes. It's like, it's hard for me not to poke back because I want to say, we want to say something to you. It's like, I said what I said. You know what I mean? It's like, comedians are... They're, especially comedian, any comedian who writes their joke, a stand-up sketch, like, we write our jokes. We know what we said. Now, sometimes it doesn't land the way we meant it to, and we can go back and rewrite, but it's like, if we said what we said and you got offended by it, and we mean it, it's like, I know what I said. What do you want?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to be offended by the final edit of a good joke. Aww. I mean, I can laugh from here. Feeling it on stage, I feel all sorts of things. Sometimes invigorated, sometimes disappointed, sometimes what's wrong with y'all? I want to fight y'all. I can't. There's not time for that. Like, because sometimes if you are offended, what's wrong with you? That's what comes up for me. That's what I get curious about. There's a demon in the room. Not necessarily because you don't like my humor, but like if you're offended, I'm super curious.
But yeah. You do have to pay for cable to watch. Because I'm trying to think of it like a show. It's like, it's free to watch. I guess it's not free to watch SNL. Well, it depends on how you watch it. I mean, you can watch it for free the next day. Essentially, you don't have to watch SNL, and you don't have to pay to watch SNL. So it's kind of like if you were at an open mic. Not that SNL is like an open mic, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You lost nothing. comedians, I'm not even speaking for Michael Jack, he's fine. We just want to tell jokes. You don't have to like them. Just shut the fuck up. Don't go to a comedy show. Don't watch the special of the person that always offends you. You know, the person that always tells a joke that offends you every time they come out with a special? Don't watch the fucking special. How about that? I'm sorry. I'm so tired. My brain is so tired.
It's so weird. You know, I think people need to admit that they're enjoying it. See, this is why I'm like, stop it with the good intentions and the right and wrong and this. Admit you're enjoying it. You're getting a charge. It's like that oxytocin, the chemicals and stuff. Yeah. You're getting a charge from this.
I get it. Yeah.
No, it's getting y'all high.
Yeah, that's true. It is nice to like get in a fight and then if you feel like, yeah, I guess there's oxytocin in there probably.
Real Housewives of Atlanta. Yeah, because my retreat center right here in Philadelphia has been just looping Real Housewives occasionally with something else. SVU, Blackish, something will come in. But Hulu has been acting crazy during Black History Month, so that's what I watch. And Brian's whole position has been that he hates Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's interesting. But I'll share my little theories with him. He'll engage with me, but he hates it. That's his position, right? And then every once in a while, I hear him yelling back at the screen. Well, of course she's going to say that if you're fucking doing it. See, he's enjoying it, but it feels like hatred. But that's the entertainment experience, is like hating what you're witnessing. Yeah.
That's reality TV. That's just what it is. You're supposed to get... Yeah, you're supposed... At one point, I have yelled at all the characters. Okay? That's reality TV. It's making you feel things about people you don't know.
You don't know these people. You don't know their motives. There's an old self-help thing I heard, which is don't compare your insides to somebody else's outsides. You don't know these motherfuckers. You just know what you feel inside. And what you see. It's too bad. Y'all, please read the book Cast by Isabel Wilkerson. It's Cast with an E. Yeah.
Putting that on my Audible. I just learned you can adjust the speed. And now I am like pumped about it.
Puffy says, somebody says speed.
Yeah, I know. It's licking me. And I have like a really strong flinch and startle reaction. I always have. I think it's like, my therapist says a thing that you get over as an adult, but not everybody does, apparently. Hmm. And she licks me, and it, like, makes me... It's very distracting, and I'm sorry. I was trying to shift away from her, but she's... She thinks I'm unclean, apparently, so...
She wants to put her sense on you. Cast by Isabel Wilkerson synthesizes. It's so great, y'all. It's so great. I think that if people read Cast, I will have to do a lot less of like messily summarizing how socio-historical constructs impact me and my life and me and in relationships with all of you, even me in communication on, for instance, the Leak podcast. I think that people will find clarity for themselves. Like if there is indeed a nervousness that you have not been admitting to yourself, woke friends, when you're in interactions with different people, it's all in there in a single volume. She's a journalist who's clearly a woman of color because some of the anecdotes in there are her own. It is so compelling, so well-researched, so well-written, and well-performed if you get the audiobook. And I highly recommend it to anyone who wants to have a conversation with me, ever. I really recommend Cast.
Read or get the fucking book before you fucking talk to her and say some stupid shit. So that's what she's saying.
And amen.
In a nice way, I'm going to do it because I care about my friend. Also, I think I have a credit on Audible, so if you're really fucked and don't have money, hit me up and I can credit it to you if it's on Audible.
Oh, really? You can share credits?
I think you get a credit every now and then. You can give somebody a book, an audiobook or something like that. Oh. I did it for somebody like over the summer. I had like a credit or something like that. I'm not sure. I might have one, but honestly, even if you're really just I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's why I will look at how to do that because I have a couple credits and I would love to spread the word.
Yeah. So I'm just Kat, you said that in a very nice way, but it's like what I'm hearing is oh my God, please don't make me fucking do this work. Now I know a thing that you could listen to or read to not
go get it there. Yeah.
You could understand it a little bit better.
Yeah. Then we have a shared vocabulary. Note that we're using the word cast. She's brilliantly used cast, which is kind of an older system of dividing people in this way. And she's used that language, which may be triggering to people outside the United States, but is less triggering here. Works so well, y'all.
There are still caste systems, right?
There are still caste systems.
It's a thing.
Still, grossly, most of the people that we encounter from abroad, even though we're presented with huddled masses images from certain countries, most of the people that we're meeting are the people who are privileged enough to get here. We're the huddled mass thing is not so much what we encounter. So there are still caste systems in the world. Yeah. It's super interesting, y'all. Yeah.
Thank you for that recommendation.
And then apply cast when you're watching Real Housewives of Atlanta or any show, really. Yes. It's spectacular. It's amazing.
The Real Housewives. Yeah. I'm so into it now.
Yeah. It's so good. I feel so hip. One time, Megan Chalashri, when I arrived at Fergie's for the Sunday mic for Sucks, Megan Chalashri says something to me. I was like, your face is looking beat. And I was like, what is this bitch? What did they just say to me? Yeah. But that's a thing. Now I feel hip.
Wait, is beat?
Beat is good? Awesome. Beat is like, when you get your face beat, you getting made up.
Because like growing up, beat meant ugly. Like it meant fucked up.
Or like busted. I was busted. Why would they say this to me?
You look like cheap or like shitty. Like I did not know that beat. Somebody said that to me, I'd be like, what the
why f- how
why are you doing this to me?
Who sent you?
I'm so glad you told me that. And wait, they said that to you, that had to be like a year ago, right?
So yeah, basically. Happy anniversary, y'all. Yeah, it was like a year ago.
Pandemic anniversary.
Yeah.
We should listen to whatever our episode was that didn't age well 2 months later. It didn't age well now either. It's probably
like, I think it was when I remember being like, I'm trying not to show up at your house bloody in a pandemic. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, yeah, because you like fell.
I fell.
I got a first aid kit. You look at that. I got a first aid kit before the pandemic. Some of y'all weren't like fucking washing your hands. I still hold true. I think I've had hand sanitizer in all of my bags like before that because you got to wash your hands. I know it's airborne, but it's like you still have to prevent other like getting a cold, inflaming your sinuses. I get sinuses like very easily.
Yeah.
It's just, and those things make you more prone to getting sick. So it's like, people just don't, you just see like an old Italian grandma in you that's like, you're gonna get sick. And then you'll just do that. It's preventative.
And you know what? The sanitizers are disincentivizing themselves because, and this is the thing I forgot about sanitizer, is the pumps often enough don't work. Like, you go to pump and you don't really get the, who wants to live that life? Pumps, I don't want to live that life. Pumps are a scam.
I'm so over, and I hate it because one of my favorite brands, I'm not going to say, we've talked about it, they have pumps and I waste so much because I'm like, I have to pound of the thing.
Yep. Yep.
Why are we still do pumps?
Yep. Stop it with these
pumps. I'm not buying the whole thing because I am going to get tired of scooping it out with the thing, and I don't have time for that. I'm already running late because I have ADD. I'm tardy to the party, and now I have to scoop lotion out that was expensive, and I'm going to throw it away because I'm like, I just don't have time.
Right, like, what's more valuable, my time or like possibly $7 worth of cream? I don't know, how much is this cream worth in here?
All very
in this
expensive,
jar,
really.
Yeah.
A lot of costs. It's like I now I'm empathizing more with Gorilla Glue Girl because,
see,
like, yeah,
just get it done. Just get, I'm right, trying to get
like,
my hair done.
I don't have time. She might have even had, maybe she had gotta be glue sitting there. Yeah. And she was like, it's at the end. Maybe it was a pump. And she was like, I don't have time. I'm just going to get, I'm just going to try. You know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to do this Gorilla Glue.
Yeah.
It's got to be the same.
Sitting here fucking with this jar all night.
You're frustrated. You know what? Like when you're frustrated, you're just like, I don't fucking know. And you're just like doing stuff.
Probably tired too.
See it. Like you're just, I'll put that in my hair. It'll probably be fine.
I probably could have talked myself into it if maybe I mixed it with gel or something.
Oh, God.
Maybe. Because I do mix. Okay. Now it's
would that make it worse or better? I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess the gel might weaken it. So it might. I
would
I'm
hope
not
it would break
it.
Up the bonds. Yeah.
Still tell me why I use that. I bought that stool. I bought a kit. I don't know when the last time you were in my house. I don't know if you want to say because.
Wait, did you fix the stool with the foot thing that?
Yeah,
that thing?
That broke. Okay, were you there? So yeah, it broke because I put pressure on it, and I used Gorilla Glue. I can't say that. Gorilla Glue, and it didn't like it broke again when somebody just put like a little pressure on it. I guess like was broken. It's broken. It's a. I just mean if it's Gorilla Glue.
No, but still, what does it have to be skin for you to stick Gorilla Glue? Is that what I need? I need to put some skin on here. Some hair in it. I got some hair. Maybe. If it maybe if it'll stick better to hair, girl, I got some hair.
It'll just be like my hair. It'll look at that point. It'll look like I am trying to summon demons. Like, glue wrapped around the stool peg. It's like, what were you doing here? I'm like, oh, you know, just you know when you take a lock of your hair.
We just then nobody would believe you were just trying to fix the stool. It's perfect. It's the perfect demon stool. I don't know. That's just how I fixed it.
It is a demon stool. Oh man. Oh, this is fun. I think we did an hour. Anyway.
I think we nailed it at demon stool. Yo, it sounds. It
I
sounds like it burns.
Different title. That I thought of during this. I'll tell you after we stop. Do you want to stop? I feel like we did.
I think I'm ready. Yeah. Thanks, y'all. Bye. Bye.